Father, we just thank you again today for this gathering. Father, I thank you for all over the world, Lord God, your people gather even wherever they are. If they're not in their house of the Lord, on vacation, wherever they are, I thank you, Father God, that they would be mindful, and they are being mindful of you today, Father. Yes. God, that in the spirit realm, Lord God, we are one. I thank you, Lord God, for how you are raising up your people, Father God. And I thank you for the evidence, Lord God, that you had revealed to me, Lord God, that your people are rising up. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for your word today. I thank you, Father God, for revelation knowledge. I thank you for understanding. Father God, I thank you for things that you have kept hidden in the darkness, Father God, until the time to reveal to your people, Father God, so that we can march forth, Father God. Father God, with power and with authority and with a dominion in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, today in the name of Jesus. Yes. For all of this. Amen. Yes. Father God, we thank you for hear ye, Lord God. We thank you that we enter into your courts. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'll start with the comment on that. And I should have written them down. So, Father, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you will remind me of each thing and not let me forget, because you so clearly spoke to me that in the realm of our nation and all the stuff going on, I know, and people, you know, even coming into the shop, and I would say to them, and then they would say, you know, thank you, that brings me peace. I said, you know, even when you have gold and gold's being refined and you get that fire and that fire starts stirring, what's the first thing that happens? And they're looking at me, I said, the draw starts coming to the top, the yucky stuff. So now things being really, really stirred up again now, and in a wider. And 2 weeks ago, I said, Lord, I thought we got past this and we're getting it. And he said, daughter, now I am revealing. He said, it is. He said, my people. That's what he said. See, if God's people are truly in prayer, are truly walking in their righteousness in Christ Jesus, are truly walking in righteousness, he said, the evidence will be what you are seeing. He said, and what you are seeing, he said, in the few months before, the beginning of the year, the end of the year to the beginning of the year, he said, you saw the dross coming up. He said, now I'm revealing to you what's in their hearts. He said, now you are seeing. He said, I have brought up what is in the heart of what is going on out there. He said, you're seeing the heart. I went, whoa. I re-listened to something from Charles Capps. I don't remember ever, if I ever seen him on a program, like maybe like Trinity or so. I don't remember Trinity ever back in those days being able to have Capps on. Heard tapes, read books. You know, because really the Lord reminded me. I mean, I told Kathy that all of a sudden these YouTubes from Hagin and all popped up, and I was like, whoa. And I said, the Lord's wanting me to go listen again. One of the things that I've only listened to one, I'm just focused right now on one of these with Caps, and I kept thinking and saying, you know, it was Copeland, and it was Copeland, but Copeland really wasn't the first that Eileen discipled me with. It was Caps. She said it. She gave it to me, everything about words.
Words.
And I shared with Kathy this last week that really in discipling people, if you change the way they speak, if you teach them how to change their language with learning the word, it changes their whole life. It changed me within a year. I was not the same person at all. I was so different. I moved from one city to another, was gone exactly a year, and when I moved back, this was all in North Carolina. The people that I knew there when I came back, they went, whoa. I went away unsaved.
Oh, man.
Came back saved. Didn't tell them I was saved. They knew I was going to church. They said, we've been going to church our whole life. You come home bubbly. We come home the same.
Oh, my
you
God.
Know this. You know that. You know about the, you know about all these different things.
And we ain't got a clue.
And I was saying, and so I'm watching this Charles Caps, and I was so excited. But one thing just going so that we're not here all day. Like I said, everything that the Lord brought through Kathy, everything this morning, prayer, everything, was everything that's been on my heart this week that God has given me things and then reminded me of. And one of the things that Charles Capp said that was, this was back in the very early 80s. I mean, this thing is old because I think if, I can't remember if he's even still alive right now. If he is, he is in his 80s. Or 90s. He's gone home. And I kind of thought he had. But he said one of the, he said, I don't think he used this word, but he said one of the detrimental things to a believer is to separate, and this has been something I have told people for years, that you can't do. He said one of the detrimental things is to separate the natural from the spiritual.
Mm.
You cannot do that. They mesh.
Mm.
They mesh. And that is a lot of what has been the body of Christ's problem. Is they separate the natural from the spirit in every realm you can think of that we walk in. You cannot do that. They mesh. Amen?
Wow.
Amen.
Now, Kathy's speaking about concerning words, and she touched her mouth like this. This week, the Lord reminded me of a vision that He gave me this last year. I was traveling down Brickyard Road, and I don't remember all the ins and out of how I, what I was doing. I believe I was listening to the radio. I was praying. I typically am praying when I'm in the vehicle. I believe I was thinking about the four grounds. And as I was praying, I was looking over on the side of the road, and the Lord gave me a vision, and I saw a mouth. And on the lips, gently from the lips, was falling seeds onto the ground. And it made me again remember and be extremely mindful about what comes out of my mouth. And then what I heard Charles Capp say this week was just so beautiful. And I'm not going to say a lot on it right now at this moment because it's going to come together as a word. But even being reminded that within words themselves, reminding us that words themselves are seeds. And seeds will produce after their own kind. And then when he said that, the Lord said, you remember the vision I gave you when you were going down Brickyard Road. And I just seen a mouth, and again, the seeds were falling off of the lips, going down into the ground, just falling gently like raindrops, just falling into the ground. I was listening, watching something that when Kathy was in the prayer and she was saying all the R words, and one of the R words, the restoration, the country, praying for our country. And one of the ones that we need to remember to put in there is reformation, is reforming.
That's what it is.
The Lord, this morning, I happened to just go to Jeremiah for something else, and it was, and so I was looking on this side, but on that side, the Lord said, glance at that side. This was before Kathy said that, and it was the potter's house. And God said, I will refashion, I will reform, I will America is out of shape. Spiritually, especially. And God is, through the church right now, rising up through the prayer. That's why we're seeing the chaos. But see, the chaos is good for us. It's good for the church.
Yes.
Because that's how you get rid. And then God is wanting to, that is His desire, is to reform us because we have gotten out of shape. We are out of shape in the natural. Because I'm going to tell you, when I was watching that Charles Capp thing, I was looking at the people. And I was like, wow. I mean, you know, when they do pan the people, which wasn't as much back then like it is now. But and they would only be able, because of the way that they knew cameras and all back then, they only did like the first 3, 4, 5 rows.
Yeah.
But I'm looking and I'm going, wait, I'm looking again. Because I was thinking about our natural bodies and how we are out of shape. And I looked at them and I was like, thin, thin, thin. In your frame, in
wow.
your frame, in your frame.
Wow.
You were in your frame. You're in your frame.
Wow.
You're in your frame. We are out of our frame.
Wow. Wow.
You look at people just walking everywhere now. Everybody's out of their frame. And I was looking at all those ages that caught my attention.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. So reforming, but reforming comes with a price.
Yes.
It's not easy to be broken.
No.
That hurts. After you're reformed, it's like, it's, you know, we can ask any athletes. It's been said over and over and over. Their training does not always feel good.
No.
Especially when they start. Mm. It's painful. Seema, I was watching a documentary. I seen it and I said, I want to listen to this again. You know, and many times we just hear the stories, the end result, and we're like, yay!
Mm-hmm.
But I was listening to Seymour with Azusa Street. Mm. The documentary was beautiful, and I've got to go back because I didn't get to listen to the last 5-10 minutes of it. You know, we listen about Azusa Street and how he prayed, and we know within that's about really a lot of times that's all we hear is that, and we're like, yeah, that was a lot for him to pray every day and every day. We don't hear how he went from here to there to there. And somehow he ended up in Houston, Texas.
Mm.
He was asked to come to California because they were seeing that there was another work of God, and it was Holy Spirit. And because of the segregation and all, he could not go into this church where this man named Parham was teaching on it. So he would sit out on the stoop.
Mm.
He sat out on the steps. And just listened at the door and got all that teaching and so forth. He ends up in Houston, Texas, and then this lady, if I have it correct, because I want to listen to it again, because it's just so beautiful. And the man that tells the story, you know, when you have somebody that teaches and their voice, like I could listen to Jack Hayford all day. Just the way, the tone of his voice. It's just
storyteller voice.
It's just a story. Yeah, and you can just listen all day. And the guy that did the documentary was beautiful. You could just listen all day. Anyway, he takes the invitation to go to California to minister in this church. Well, of course, he preaches on Holy Spirit. I don't know if it was 1, 2, 3 times. It wasn't many. And they kicked him out. They were like, okay, no. All right, so he's there with no job. No money to see, so he paid a price.
That's right.
Yep.
Right now, the church is paying a price with our prayers.
Mm.
And all this mob stuff that you're seeing out there, it's the prayers of the church revealing the heart of wickedness.
Mm.
Not calling the people wicked like Kathy said, but the enemy is, I always see this, just like when it had Jesus and Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy's going up and whispering.
Oh, yeah.
The enemy's just going through there, just picking. just stirring them up.
Right.
You ask a lot of them, why are you here today? You see it on the news. They can't tell you why they're there. They're just in this mob situation. But it's the prayer of the people. We're paying a price right now.
Mm.
Seymour paid a price.
Yes, he did.
Well, another minister there knew he was there, brought him to his house because he knew he had no money, no job. See, the mercy of God brought him in. So while he was gone, while the minister was gone, working, or the person, like I said, I need to listen to it again, because a lot of times I'm getting up and down too while it's on, and so I'll miss some things. Seymour prayed. What turned into a couple hours turned into 5 hours, turned into 8 hours, and then see, revival just broke out. People started coming. If I'm not mistaken, it was that house. And because the house was lifted up in a porch, it was a perfect perch to just preach right there. To where they went to that old Azusa Street building, which I am so sad it's torn down now. You can't. You can go to the place where it was. But see, he paid a price. He went to minister to the people of God, that there's a Holy Spirit. There's a language that comes. And see, and all that's going to fit into to all of this. But the Lord said for me to comment on all of these things.
Amen.
Do not separate the spirit from the natural.
No.
You can't do that. Mm. You can do it, but it is not advantageous at all. You will really hurt yourself. Mm. And all these things come with a price. And watch what truly have a picture of when you're speaking. Your very words themselves are seeds. When God spoke into the darkness and said, "Light be," that was a seed. When I shared that with Kathy, I said, now I even see how it reproduced itself. It reproduced itself. It reproduced. That now we just turn it. We just do that and there's light.
Mm-hmm.
It went to oil, to candles, to God just zapping Benjamin Franklin and giving him the wisdom and the idea Edison.
Thomas
it was
Edison,
Thomas Edison. And giving him the wisdom with the lightning. But see, that seed kept producing.
Yes.
It kept producing. It kept producing. That now we can just take a clicker, or we can clap our hands, or whatever gadget you've got, and there's light.
Mm. From God speaking, let there be light.
Yeah, that was a seed itself. And it kept producing after its own kind.
Mm.
It kept producing after its own kind.
Oh my God.
When the Lord gave me that vision on Brickyard Road, I can take you to the very spot I was driving. And I saw those seeds fall off of lips.
Mm.
They are remembering that they are seeds.
Mm.
So there's so many that I need to ask for crop failure. And that's why the courts are...
Mercy.
So I'm going to go very, very quickly through last week. For those that were not here, Luke 18, we read about the, and when Kathy, when it gets on the website, it will be good to listen to that one, to come into this one.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 18, there was an unrighteous judge, and we know that because of the way Jesus told the story, that it was he was speaking about a true man. It wasn't an analogy. It wasn't any. He was not. It was a true man. It was a true woman, and that God is the righteous judge. Amen.
Amen.
And then we discovered that Jerusalem, Jerusalem is not actually a city. Jerusalem is the house of the Lord. Amen. Jerusalem is the house of the Lord. And we even started that with, it's in 2 Chronicles 6 where we are going today. Jerusalem is the house of the Lord. And then you look at it in the natural is, my gracious, that is why, I mean, Israel itself is always under attack, but Jerusalem, there's a war in the spirit realm for Jerusalem, an attack. And that's why the Lord says in Psalms 122, pray for the peace. And if I'm going to read it this way, it says Jerusalem, pray for the peace of my house.
Wow.
Pray for the peace of the house of the Lord. Pray for the peace of the house of the Lord. We learned that Jerusalem, the exact meaning of Jerusalem is the foundation of peace. That's what Jerusalem means. The foundation of peace. It is the very foundation of peace. So, pray Psalms 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for my house. Pray for the peace of the house of the Lord. May they prosper that love the house of the Lord. For I was glad when they said to us, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now everywhere I turn, it's just like, well, you know, when you do learn anything and you go to scripture, it's like that one thing just pops out. It's just like when Sammy Rodriguez was here back in the years, and he was, the Lord was showing him and giving him all the revelation on the third day. Every time you opened up your Bible, you saw third day, on the third day, on the third day. You saw it everywhere. And now when I see Jerusalem, I mean, that's the house of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's why now I've come across scripture where face Jerusalem. And that's what Solomon is saying in 2 Chronicles 6. When you pray, face that place. What's that place? That place is the house of the Lord. Mm. That place is Jerusalem. Amen. But I say now that I am a believer. I am in Jesus. Uh-huh. I stand in His righteousness. So Jerusalem, the house of the Lord, abides in me.
That's right.
Now I turn inward. Now, if I still face Jerusalem in the natural, is that a bad thing? No, that's still a good thing. Mm-hmm. Amen? Hallelujah. But now we can see, even in a greater measure, the warfare that's in Jerusalem and how the different religions, again, being stirred up by the enemy to take over that place. But no, you will not. That is the house of the Lord.
God is spoken.
Now, there are scriptures, especially in Jeremiah, where the Lord says, if my people disobey me, do this, do that. He said He would pluck it. He said He would pluck out Israel, and He will destroy His house. And then the people walking by will say, why has God done this?
That's right.
See? So, amen. But God is merciful, and there will always be someone that will rise up and will obey what He said. We learned that week before last, that Jesus is our intercessor. But Jesus does not get my prayers answered. Jesus stands before God for me. He is an intercessor till I get what I need to get right so that I won't be destroyed. If Jesus got my prayers answered, everything I've ever wanted, desired, needed, battled would be done. So I woke up that one day and I said, no, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I'm not using my authority. I'm not using my dominion. There's something wrong. I'm speaking wrong words. I had to bring all these components to the table and say, okay, Carmen, let get settled again. Get settled again. And the Lord is doing that with me. Get settled again on where you're supposed to be. I do have a position. I have a place. Amen? Mm-hmm. And I'm getting settled back into that place. And that'd be another day, another preach, because I get off there and we will not get to where we're supposed to go today. Psalms 121, speaking about Jerusalem. I will lift up my eyes. Kathy, somebody hit on this today. God alone is our source. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Jerusalem is on a mountain. It's on a high place. Mm-hmm. We should not be allowing the enemy to have a high place. Mm. God is the one that, again, we could get off. I'm going to stay. I will lift up my eyes to the hills around Jerusalem, from whence comes my help. Psalms 121. Because my help comes from the Lord. Amen. I will lift up my eyes to the house of the Lord. From there comes my help.
Wow.
My help comes from Jerusalem. From the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. So, 2 Chronicles 6. God said that He would dwell in thick darkness. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go back through. We're just going to skim through here so that we can get to the end part of 2 Chronicles 6. Just highlighting even from the week before. Two, three weeks back now. Mm-hmm. The thick darkness. Again, simple. Again, it's like, it's kind of simple. Still don't have a fullness on it, but it's just simple. God hides in the thick darkness. He hides what He's going to do. He hides His wisdom in the thick darkness so that the enemy will not know. Amen? Okay? We saw, we seen week before last that in Colossians, the Lord says, what does the shadow tell you? Where's the shadow? The shadow is in the Old Testament. If it happened in the Old Testament, it will be revealed in the New Testament. So what does the shadow say? The shadow just told us that God dwells in the thick darkness. Mm-hmm. So let's quickly, you can write this down. I'll read it, and you can just, you don't have to necessarily turn there. 1 Corinthians 2. Father, am I in the right place? Let's see. Ooh, yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2. Okay. Verse 5, your faith doesn't rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We just said our help, Psalms 121. My help comes from the house of the Lord. My help comes from Jerusalem. My help comes from the highest place that there is.
Wow.
So verse 6 is where we're going to focus, and then reading on from there. Remember what our thought is here. Solomon said, the Lord has said that He would dwell in the thick darkness. Mm-hmm. So verse 6 in 1 Corinthians 2:2. Okay. Yet when we are among the full grown, spiritually mature Christians, I love this, who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom. I'm reading the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 2:2, verse 6. We do impart a higher wisdom. That is that higher wisdom. This is what higher wisdom is. It's the knowledge of a divine plan previously hidden. God dwells in the thick darkness. We know in the natural, everything is in a dark place. You can't see it until you turn the light on. Woo! Light upon us, Holy Spirit.
Revelation.
But it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age. Nor of this world, or of the leaders and the rulers of this age, the rulers of darkness, who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden. Because what does the shadow tell us? The thick darkness. From the human understanding.
Wow.
Now revealed to us by God. It was hidden from human understanding. It can only be revealed by the Spirit. Revealed to us by God. That wisdom, this is the wisdom, which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification. This glorification is to lift us into the glory of His presence. None of the rulers of this age, the rulers of darkness or world, perceived and recognized, understood this. For if they did, they would not have crucified Him.
That's right. Glory to God.
That was their demise. God hid it. If they'd have known, if God would have revealed it to somebody and they would have spoken out,
right.
Those rulers in the darkness would have known it and they wouldn't. Satan would not have gone through that crowd.
that is rich.
That's why God likes to just sit in the thick darkness.
Wow.
And the enemy doesn't know what he's doing. And let us be careful that we don't reveal. Wow. If God tells us to hold something, hold it till he tells you to reveal it.
My God.
The only way the enemy, is that not in the natural?
That's true.
What you said, that's right.
That's how he knew.
Even from the Vietnam days, being a child, I knew that it was stupid because my dad was over there. That they would reveal where they were.
He's stupid.
Then they would get hurt.
Mm.
As it is in the spirit, it is in the natural. You cannot divide it. Once you divide it, it is so unadvantageous for you. Mm. It brings destruction. You don't tell the enemy what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You get the upper hand.
Wow.
The seeds are falling. Poppy, I saw them. I saw those seeds falling from the lips. And they will reproduce after their own kind.
God.
Rip them up from the root if they were not of God.
Right.
Mm. Mm. Okay. So the king turned his face, blessed Israel. Y'all just go back and read through, remembering the bronze represents sin.
That's right.
Solomon built the scaffold.
Yes.
He made it bronze to represent sin.
Yes.
We have sinned before you. He stood there, then he knelt in repentance, leading Israel. Like Kathy did this morning, leading us into repentance for our nation is basically what Solomon is doing here. Mm-hmm. This is not hard.
No.
It's really not hard to understand, okay? Ask Holy Spirit if you're still having hard time with it. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you are reading the book. Jeanette Strauss is so simple on it. Ask Holy Spirit to open your eyes, open the eyes of your understanding. Amen? Amen? Okay. So he set it in the midst of the court. He stood upon it, and then he knelt upon his knees before all of the assembly of Israel, and he spread forth his hands towards heaven. All right? Then he's addressing prayer. Okay? We get to verse 20, and I'm really disappointed that Anna's not here today, because today was going to come her answer, because she said, you know, why does Solomon tell God what to do? That you know, Solomon says, have respect for the prayer of your servant in verse 19 and to his supplication. O Lord my God, to listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be open up on this house.
My God.
Day and night. God's court never closes. Amen. Hallelujah. And praise God for us. Okay. Hold on, let's see. I think I did want to make reference again to verse 6. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
God says, just to remind us that God says, I have chosen Jerusalem. This is where he showed me when I studied out each one of these words. And that's where he showed me that he didn't choose a city. He said, I chose a place. It's not a city. God's house. That's what it literally means. And then in Psalms 122, we read that it was built like a city.
Uh-huh.
Being very careful what we are reading and learning. But he said, I've chosen Jerusalem that my name and the symbol of my presence might be there. Amen.
Wow, symbol of my presence.
Hallelujah. And I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Okay, then Solomon is leading the people into repentance. And there's six different areas here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say that that's all the areas. That's where that is limited there. No, it's not.
Wow.
But, okay, so the first one was sins against his neighbor. That's where I feel like that's like us. It's the body of Christ. That's how I, you know, my people, who are you?
Yeah.
Amen. The body of Christ. My people, wherever they are in the world. That was where he first made a repentance. And as the Lord gives us more understanding and revelation as we go forth, we'll bring it up. But that's where I am right now. And if you'll notice, as you read 2 Chronicles 6, you'll notice that in much of it, Solomon repeats and says that they shall make this facing this place. Again, and I've already said that, facing Jerusalem, which Jerusalem is in the house, is the house of the Lord.
Right.
Amen. And then for us, we are the church. The church now abides in me. I don't come to church. I come to the house. I come to the gathering place. Or I come to the house of the Lord.
Right.
You know, and many times we still slip up and say church and all because we have said it for so many years till we got true understanding of it. But for this house, we really know what we mean when we say we're going to church. I'm not going to. I am the church.
Amen.
I am the church. Amen. Okay. So that's the first prayer in repentant prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 is verse 22. The second prayer is where being defeated by an enemy. Verse 26 is the third repentant prayer. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you. I'm going to tell you so much of all this stuff is on the church. There's chaos, there's turmoil, there's darkness because the church has been silent. And again, I always tell people, one-on-one, you may have been so faithful, you may have been praying, you may be a Seymour. But I'm speaking, when I always say that, I'm always speaking collectively as the nation.
That's right. That's right. We can't separate ourselves from the body.
No.
The body.
You can be faithful and you keep being faithful and doing and praying what the Lord has said. But as the body in this nation, it's in the mess because of us. Because of the church.
That's right.
That's right.
It's the truth.
Okay. All right. So 28 is the fourth prayer. If there is a famine in the land, if there be pestilence, blight, mildew, locusts, or caterpillars, if their enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever plague or sickness there may be, then whatever prayer or supplication, this is, I love verse 29. This is when, as an individual or as a corporate, like today, Kathy took us in for our nation. There is famine in this land.
Mm-hmm.
Famine of different types.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 29 says, you can go in and repent for your nation by a man. It literally says, any man. Then whatever prayer or supplication any man or all of your people of Israel shall make.
Mm.
Okay, again, the courts of heaven, we're mainly speaking about repentance. Each knowing his own affliction and his own sorrow, stretching out his hand toward this house. Then hear from heaven. So Solomon is making sure that he is speaking directly about a certain situation. He is asking the Lord in every one of those. That's what Jeanette Strauss brings out in this book and in the prayer journal. Is every situation. Don't lump everything. There's times that we can. There's times that we do because our time for whatever might be limited. But there are certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm seeing. That's what I believe that Solomon was doing here. He was taking each situation, God, now concerning this, God, because then people will say, Well, I could see more praying 8 hours.
Mm.
Oh, I believe he was praying like Solomon.
Oh, my God.
I believe that he was taking each thing.
Wow.
He was taking each. You know, I really don't know. But, I mean, I think that's a good picture for me.
My
taking
God.
Each thing.
My
Amen.
God, my God.
Hallelujah. Woo. Okay. The fifth repentant prayer is about the stranger. Also concerning the stranger who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your great name's sake, your and your mighty power, and your stretched out arm. If he comes in praise towards this house, the stranger has to have a desire for the things of God. The stranger has to have a desire for God, for the God of Israel.
That's right.
Hear from heaven, from your dwelling place, and do all the stranger calls for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Calls for to you. That all your people of the earth may know your name and fear you. Amen. So that stranger's limited. The stranger's limited. The sixth repentant prayer, verse 34. If your people go out to war against their enemies by the way that you send them, and they pray to you facing Jerusalem, facing the house of the Lord which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name, then hear from heaven their prayer and supplication and maintain their cause. If they sin against you. So right there, you know, a lot of people say things about, you know, if he's a loving God, we have to remember that there is an enemy. Your people go out to war against an enemy by the way that you send them.
Mm.
The Lord, if there is a war, God will show you. It was funny, last Sunday at Christ Central, it was time for Shirley and I with the grit pot. And I was like, where's one of the things that we use? And John was right, standing right next to the things, and I asking him to excuse me because I need to pull out so I could look for. And I said, weapon of choice. See, when God sends you, there'll be a weapon of choice.
Mm.
See, sometimes that weapon will be mercy. The enemy around and in those people will still be destroyed, but it can be done by mercy.
Mm-mm-mm.
There's a lot of different weapons, but that way I found the weapon of choice.
Amen.
So that she and I could get that pot done. Amen. Verse 36, if they sin against you, they're in war. You sent them, Lord. But if they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, Solomon says, and you are angry with them, and you give them two enemies who take them captive to a land far or near, yet if they repent in the land to which they have been carried captive, God sent you. He told you what to do. But within that, there was sin. The enemy would still take you. But if you'll repent, where you're at.
God. Hallelujah.
Woo! And you turn. You don't just pray. You show action. You don't just pray. You turn. I think a real quick analogy on whatever, drugs, alcohol. We have a believer. God sent them a direction to go after the enemy. He gave them weapons of choice. While they're fighting, they fall back into something that they used to do. Say it's alcohol. They become captive by the enemy, although God sent them. They're where they're supposed to be. They were anointed to do the job. They fell back into something. Whatever the sin was. Mm. But the Lord says, Solomon's saying, but if they will repent in the land where they were taken captive, turn and pray. Mm-hmm. But see what it finished saying. We have sinned and we have done wrong and we have dealt wickedly. If they return to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their captivity, verse 38, and they pray facing their land. Well, where's their land? Jerusalem.
Yes.
The house of the Lord.
His presence.
Yes.
House of His presence.
Which you gave to their fathers and toward this place which you have chosen in the house which I have built for your name. Then hear from heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Mm-hmm. What was the cause? Where you sent them to do war against the enemy. You'll maintain their cause and you'll forgive your people and who have sinned against you. Amen. Now, oh my God, verse 40, I beseech you, let your eyes be open. He says again, verse 20, that your eyes be open. Verse 40. He says what he said in 20. Let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayer offered in this temple. So now arise. Arise. Mm. O Lord. Verse 41. So now, O God, I beseech you that your eyes are open. Mm. Your ears are attentive to these prayers. Mm. So now arise, O Lord God. Mm. And come into your resting place. You and the ark of your strength and power. Let your priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation. Let your saints, your zealous ones, rejoice in good and in your goodness. Mm. Now we're going to find out here. We're going to go into one of our famous, well-known scriptures. But see, you don't get this famous scripture without 2 Chronicles 6.
Yep.
That's why you really need to read it and meditate on it.
It's a shadow.
Yep. So now, O Lord, rejoice in good and in your goodness. Verse 42, O Lord God, turn not away from the face of me, your anointed one. Earnestly remember your good deeds, mercy, and steadfast love for David your servant. And do you know how we know he heard this prayer? Because chapter 7, verse 1, when Solomon had finished, the fire came down from heaven. Repentance will bring the fire of God. And the answer to what you repented for. Woo! And he consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house to where the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the house had filled the Lord's house. You can't have that without 2 Chronicles 6. We just go to 2 Chronicles. If my people will... It bounces off of him. Like rain off of a duck's back if we haven't done 2 Chronicles 6.
About repentance.
And done it in the order that he said. He does say that I have laws and precepts and statutes.
Yes.
And commandments. All those things are different things. That's when we experience 2 Chronicles 7. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. They did all these things.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Woo! The Levites with their instruments, I believe a party started.
Amen.
I believe a party started. Hallelujah.
Right.
Seven, verse 7 says that Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which he had made was not sufficient to receive the burnt offerings, cereal offerings, and the fat.
Oh my God, because the people were so repentant. They kept on bringing it. Oh my God, they were so repentant. Revival broke out.
Yes.
Oh my.
Woo! Okay. Amen. Now, we go down to verse 9. They had, yeah, they did. They had a party. 7-day feast. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month in verse 10, they went home with gladness and merriness in their heart for the goodness of the Lord that God had shown.
My God.
Thus, verse 11, Solomon finished the Lord's house and his house. And all that he had planned to do in the Lord's house, in his house, and his own house, he accomplished successfully, both of them. Now, verse 12. Woo, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Woo, God does like the darkness.
There you go.
Woo!
There you go.
Woo, and you lay your head down at night. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. And said to him, I have heard your prayer. God already showed the action 7:1.
Mm-hmm. He was pleased, yes.
When Solomon had finished praying, that's how we know. That's why the Lord told me 2 weeks ago, this mob mentality that you see, daughter, it's an evidence to you that the body of Christ is waking up in this nation. But don't quit praying. Don't quit speaking for them to rise up.
Yes.
God rises up, the body rises
That's
up.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! And I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. All right, now, this 13 and 14 need to be read together.
Okay.
So the Lord's still speaking. He appeared to Solomon. I heard your prayer. I chose this place. Now he says, if I shut up heaven so no rain falls, if I command locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name,
my God,
will humble themselves,
oh my God,
pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face, and turn, we already heard that in another place, and turn.
Yes.
And turn! Sometimes we got to say, what I learned from my parents, everything might not have been right, Lord. Please show me what wasn't right.
Generation.
They thought they were right.
Yes.
But they were wrong. Show me where I need to turn. And no matter how much it hurts, no matter how many other people will not contact you again.
Tradition. Breaking away from tradition.
Yes. But those traditions are of no effect. So why do we want to hang on to them? I love the old joke type thing that a lot of the, like Hagen, all those people, they would say so many times, this with tradition, is they're sitting at a dinner table with three generations, the daughter, the mother, and then the grandmother. And they notice that the end of the ham is cut off.
Yep.
So the minister questions, why? Well, I did it because mama did it. And he looks at the grandmother and he says, why did, and the mother says she did it because her mother did it. So he looked at the mother and the grandmother says, well, I don't know why they do it, but I did it because my pan was short. Because it was back in the day where pans were only made this big. So she cut off the end so the ham would fit in the pan. So see, that tradition was of no effect. You threw away the best part of the ham.
Oh my God, my God, my God.
The mother did it because grandma did it. The daughter did it because mama did it. Your traditions are of no effect. Turn!
Yes.
Turn!
Glory.
Which way does the God, people of God, turn?
Towards
we don't
God.
Turn this way horizontally. We turn vertically. We go to the penthouse. That's what repent means. It's where we get the word penthouse. To the top. The penthouse is always at the top. A penthouse is never at the bottom. It's at the top.
Oh my God.
Turn. Today is time to turn.
Glory to God.
This 4th of July, turn like you've never turned before. Don't do anything out of tradition anymore. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Now, some traditions are good.
No.
That's like with weddings. Now, some traditions, like in weddings, I've ministered to many people at the counter, and they'll say, oh, I didn't know that. Why do you have bridesmaids? Why do you have this? Those are good. But I always say to them, keep in some of those foundationals. You keep in those foundations and you put a little bit of yourself to make it your own event. But you don't do away with all. We're talking about traditions that are of no effect.
Yeah, that violate God's commandments.
No, the bridesmaids are good. Those are the ones that carry the oil. Amen. Those are the ones that help the bride. They're the ones that help her in the darkness. See, Israel back in that day was so filled with holes. They had to carry lamps. If they didn't, you didn't. I mean, for us, the best description of it would be is a sinkhole or a pothole. And you would fall in those and you could literally die. So don't break the good traditions. No, it's good to get married before you have children. See, no, those are good traditions. We don't throw all the traditions out. Just be careful of the traditions that you do have. You ask the Lord, the way that I've been doing this, in every realm, the way you do things, every realm, do I keep on this or do I turn? Hallelujah. Woo! But there's some traditions that are going out the window. Woo, Jesus. Now, here, Anna, I hope that you will listen to this. Here's your answer.
She will online.
That's what I'm speaking of.
She will online. Yes.
Okay, so we're going to read this together. Okay, again, okay? Real quick. The Lord appeared to Solomon after all the festivities were over. And he said, I heard your prayer. I chose this place. And if I shut up heaven so there's no rainfalls, if I command locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, and turn from their wicked ways, from their twisted thinking.
Yes.
That's what that word means. Wicked ways is twisted thinking.
Traditions.
God can heal you of this. Yeah, but my mama had. God can supply his need. Yeah, but I need to get this job or whatever. See, twisted thinking. God can heal this marriage. Yeah, but I can't get him to. See, twisted thinking. Wicked thinking is anything that's outside of this covenant. Watch, see your lips. The seeds fall off your lips. If you'll turn, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer offered in this place.
My.
There's Anna's answer. It was not wrong that Solomon said that. God says, and now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer offered in this place. For I have chosen and sanctified, set apart for holy use, this house. Is that not why Jesus was so upset when he went into the temple?
Yes.
Because they had used what was sanctified for holy purpose.
Yes.
And they were cheating the people.
That's right.
That was a tradition from there. That was not a good tradition. And it was not a good idea to do it in front of God. Yes. They had no idea they were standing in front of God. And he whipped with that rope in that place and tore it all down. Hallelujah. And then the rest of that is very good to continue to read. In chapter 18, it tells us that it took Solomon 20 years to build that.
Took 20 years
to build that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Give me a second to look over. I think that we're... Amen. I don't want us to be so full that we have to throw up something that was good to eat. Because sometimes we can't. Sometimes it's, there's always so much. There's always so much. But we want to make sure that we eat enough to chew on. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I did think that I had pulled out something else, but... Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for the language that you have given your people. Father God, except by revelation, even ourselves don't understand. Father God, we can't mess it up. I love, thank you, Lord God, that it's the one thing that we for sure cannot mess up. Lord God, I thank you for the hidden messages, Lord God, that we are praying, Lord God, into the spirit realm. Father God, I thank you for the men of old. Father God, I thank you for the George Washingtons. I thank you for the Seymours. I thank you for the Abraham Lincolns, Father God. I thank you for all the men and women of old, Father God. Father, I don't know for sure, but I just have a real close feeling that while Betsy Ross was sowing that first flag, she was praying. Oh, Father God, I thank you for the Martin Luther Kings. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for all the men of old and the women of old, oh God, that cried and shed tears, and some of them, Father God, shed their own blood. Father God, that we would have a nation, Lord God, that is unto you. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for your people. Lord God, rising up and taking their place, Father God. Father God, just as Esther, Lord God, walked into the courts, and I thank you that Xerxes seen her. He didn't see her, he saw dominion. He saw what she was wearing. He reminded himself, oh yeah, she sits next to me. There's something that she wants because she's got on her royal robe. She is wearing that which declares, I have dominion. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that your word says in Ephesians that we are to sit in heavenly places with you. Father, I thank you that the body of Christ has lost touch with this, including myself. Father, I thank you that you have given us a place of authority. I thank you that you have given us a seat. I thank you, Lord God, that I sit with Christ Jesus next to you, O God. I thank you that I look down upon the enemy. I thank you, Lord God, that you, hallelujah, have taken us out of the kingdom of darkness. You have brought us into the kingdom of light. I thank thank you, Lord God, that you have cleansed us and washed us by the blood. I thank you, Lord God, as we live a repentant life, as we come into your courts when we need to come into your courts, when we need to do what Solomon did. For what does the shadow tell us? Let us reveal what the shadow says. And I thank you that as we live this repentant life, as we stand on the sin that we're in, that as we repent with a whole heart, looking towards your house, Jerusalem. Father God, I thank you, and we turn from our wicked thinking. Lord God, I thank you that we rule and we reign next to you. That we turn to the darkness and we declare and decree your word. Satan, you will get your hands off this nation. You will get your hands off our wealth. You will take your hands off of our families and our children. You will unveil their eyes. You will remove and take away. We will push you back. For I sit with my God. I rule and I reign with Him. You will not tell this nation what to do. We tell you what you're going to do. You will bow your knee. You will bow your knee in the name of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus is against you. You will take your hands off Hollywood.
Your strategies will fail.
You will take your hands off our political leaders. You will take your hands off of our musicians and singers. You will take your hands off of our religious leaders. In the name of Jesus, we rule, we reign. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I remind you once more, the blood of Jesus is against you.
That's right.
You have nothing.
You have no legal right.
You have nothing. You have no legal right. Mm-hmm. You have no words. You have no action against the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let me remind you that He went into hell and He made an open show of you. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Jesus, I worship you. I praise you. I thank you for where
hallelujah.
You have brought us
thank
to.
You.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, let us not. Not forget from this day forth, not just to cry out to you, but to take authority and to take dominion.
Holy, holy, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy.
We are waiting on you to answer prayer. You're waiting on us to speak your word.
You are worthy, Lord.
I thank you, oh God, for giving us the weapon of choice. Hallelujah. I thank you for speaking to us in the thick darkness. I thank you, oh God, that's why the scripture says that you work as much in the darkness as you do in the light. Woo!
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Mm. Hallelujah. Mm. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that it was spoken to me and said, if you see a chair, if God reveals a chair to you, you have a place of authority. Well, Father, in Ephesians, you clearly say that we sit. If we sit, we have a chair. You've given us a chair. You've given us authority. Father God, before Esther could even ask or say a word, the king was already telling her, you can have whatever you want up to half the kingdom. Because she revealed to him that she walks in and he has given her dominion.
My God, my God.
You've given us dominion.
My God, my God.
God, let us rise up. Let us rise up. Mm. May the church even increase more today in rising up and taking her place of authority and speaking with dominion. Stop the crying. There is a time to cry, and there's a time to decree. Jesus, yes, thank you, he is our intercessor. Yes. He stands appealing for us till we can get to the place to make things right with our Father. Mm. But he doesn't repent for us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. Thank you, Father. May the body of Christ get it right. Reform this nation. Reform your people. I thank you, O God. The breaking of this clay pot has hurt, has not felt good. But Father God, I thank you that we're looking to the end. We're rejoicing. We are rejoicing to the end, knowing that our new shape, our new form, Lord God, is so exciting. Is so exciting. Is bringing such a revival. Hallelujah. That just like in the days of old, there will be so many businesses that will turn. Thousands upon thousands upon hundreds of thousands will turn in their tracks, oh God. We will take them out of the captive land and bring them back into your land. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, righteous judge.